Nearly 2 years after promoting 108 women to the rank of colonel following a Supreme Court directive, concerns have emerged with the senior lieutenant general who commanded a mountain strike corps, citing mundane ego issues and a lack of empathy among 8 female colonels under his command in an internal review sent to the Eastern Army commander. He adds that women officers under his command had a lack of tact and understanding, an exaggerated tendency to complain, and a serious and a misplaced sense of entitlement. However, defense sources emphasize the Army's commitment to women's integration, stating that this critique aims to enhance training standards for all officers. In this debate, several years after the process of giving women command roles, are they being led down by a sense of misogyny in senior ranks? I'm joined by General Satish Dua, the former Chief of Integrated Defense Staff. Thanks so very much for being with us. Major Navdeep Singh is a lawyer and an advocate in the Punjab and Haryana High Court. He happens to be writing a book on 10 landmark judgments which have really given women the rights that we hope that they truly get in the armed forces. And Lieutenant Colonel Sarita Satija, retired colonel in the Army, thank you all very much for being with us. General Dua, when you've got an internal review which says that 8 women all suffer from a lack of tact and understanding, an exaggerated tendency to complain, mundane ego issues which spiral out of control, my way or the highway kind of approach, a serious misplaced sense of entitlement and overgrown ego, a lack of empathy, I could go on and on. Isn't there a real worry that if you stereotype 8 separate individuals, whether they're women or men all together, then, you know, it's problematic, deeply problematic?
Vishnu, let me try and put things in context for the viewers. It was about nearly two years ago that the Supreme Court ordered that women officers will be given permanent commission and also be given command of units. Command of units is something that women officers were not being groomed for. So the Supreme Court, because of Supreme Court orders, it had to be implemented almost immediately. And in so doing, when women officers were placed in command of units, as they have been for more than 1 year now, what has happened is that for every new thing to be implemented, after it is implemented, there has to be a review. Army follows this procedure. So this is a privileged information. First of all, frankly speaking, media has no business to be having this letter. I don't know how they got it, whatever it is. But when this is a review, a feedback being given at a very senior level, highest level, from a corps commander to an army commander, he speaks of this as a matter of course correction, and not, I would not like to describe it the way you put it, because it is a course correction that is being suggested. Allow me to point out, for example, women officers heretofore are not being given, are not being exposed to a basic building block course for majors, mm-hmm. which is called the junior command course. They are not allowed to, they were not participating in a competitive exam to go to the defense services staff college course. So, and they were not being given criteria appointment. Criteria appointments are certain appointments. For example, you have to be a company commander for at least 2 years to qualify to become a commanding officer. So all that I'm trying to put across is that if a woman officer is not prepared for these, for such appointments, that is where the shortcomings are being noticed. Now imagine if an IAS officer, without being a district magistrate, he cannot. That's a must. He has to do that in the field. He cannot be straight away be appointed as a commissioner or in a senior rank.
Okay.
Imagine a journalist. If you can't, if you don't do any field jobs, don't report from the field, and straight away you're hoisted as editor of a channel or of any media house, I don't think that would be fair.
Okay.
It's a similar thing that's being spoken of. The last 2 pages, this DO letter, he concentrates on, so what do we need to do? And he brings out clearly a few measures that we need to do.
All right.
Some amongst...
All right, General, we'll talk about those measures in a moment. Major Navdeep Singh, you heard what General Dua had to say. Do you accept the arguments that he says, or do you believe that this characterization of women in this particular code is problematic?
The reason behind the letter, as General Dua says, is course correction is perfectly acceptable, but the language is absolutely unacceptable. Even if it is a confidential demi-official letter being exchanged, you know, between two authorities, the language reeks of personal opinions and bias. And firstly, nobody has probably asked that general to conduct this study. This study is within the ambit of the wise men and women sitting up there, maybe the chief of defense staff, the Ministry of Defense, the Government of India, or probably the Army Training Command, or the College of Defense Management. Those are the kind of institutions which are supposed to conduct such studies, and studies are conducted in a much scientific manner. You know, you have respondents, you have empirical data, you have a questionnaire, you ask people, you seek their responses. Some are confidential, some may not be confidential. You consult experts, interpersonal relation experts, clinical psychologists, women officers who are affected, HR experts, and then, you know, refer to all this empirical data and your analysis and then come to a conclusion, then present it forward. This is a very ham-handed way to project things. This is not the way it is done in the military or even on the civil side. Having said that, of course, everybody understands that the military is not a social justice experiment. However, the issue is not that. The issue is simply this, that women were earlier denied permanent commission, and on court's intervention in the year 2011, they were granted permanent commission, but the judgment of the Delhi High Court was not implemented for 10 long years. All these complications are a result of the delay in implementation. And it's just been 2 years. I mean, in 2020, in March 2021, the Supreme Court rendered a judgment for command roles. Policies were issued in 2021, 2022, 2023. And the government and the defense services and the chief of defense staff, they're all very alive to these issues, and they're looking into these issues. So there's no place for using such language to, you know, send off such letters. And letters are not only harsh, they're laughable. The letter is laughable. I mean, saying women do not have empathy, do not have compassion. Anybody would just laugh it off. These are just personal opinions. This is not the reality. And you cannot just have four or five officers in uniform sitting together and saying that, oh, we are going to have an in-house study. I mean, these are not the ways how studies are conducted.
Okay.
So I'm sure the government will take corrective measures in its own manner, and they're very alive to these issues and in a more scientific manner. And things are moving. Things are on. This is an ongoing process.
Okay.
There was no reason to short-circuit the system like this.
Half a second. Let me go across to Lieutenant Colonel Sarita Satija. There are those who would suggest that these are attitudes. For example, seeking immediate gratification for minor achievements, uncontrolled urge to make derogatory statements, over-ambition in certain women commanding officers, again, lack of empathy and overgrown ego. When you were in service, did you come across a certain set of mindsets which challenged your progress or your ability to work within the organization?
I totally agree with Naveeb sir regarding his views on this. This letter per se is a very personal opinion about the general officer. It has got nothing to do with what Army thinks and the way Army behaves with women officers. I have been in the service for about 21 years, and with a lot of confidence, I can say that never have I ever felt sidelined because I was a women officer. I was never ever felt that I was not given the dues being an officer. And these are very, very personal views of a general officer who has, I feel that he could have addressed these issues in a much, much better manner in his own capacity rather than writing to the army commander on it. Views, I'm sure, possibly, I feel, were for the good of the army, but they do reflect a large section of women in a very poor light, which I'm sure nobody wants to see that. We are still struggling. We have struggled for 20 years. We fought. We have come this far, and we want to do much better in the organization. And such kind of derogatory letters or remarks generally makes us question, again, you know, our seniors who we look upon with a lot of respect. As far as I'm concerned, I would definitely say that no, I have never faced such kind of a gender biasness in the army. No.
General Dua, are there those officers at senior ranks or other ranks who are just simply uncomfortable with the presence of women in the armed forces in command roles? I think that's the bottom line.
No, I don't think so. We are uncomfortable with women in command roles. All I was saying earlier also, as I was saying earlier also, women officers also have to be prepared to take on command roles. I mean, just like the other two co-panelists also agree to the fact that these are his personal opinions. But it's a feedback from the field. Feedback about commanding officers can only be given by senior officers. So he's also written in that same letter, you've read through it, I'm sure, which says, I have also addressed these issues to the military secretary and to the adjutant general's branch. Those are the two branches who will actually deal with such policy formulation, but they do require feedback from the field. And this is one of the ways. Whether it is his opinion, but the fact is, army is not, as you said, your question was, uncomfortable with women officers in command. In fact, the intention is to prepare them for these command positions now that it is decided that they have to be given command positions. And that's all that is sought to be done over here.
Navdeep, would you not agree with General Dua that there is a process that's not been followed for all the reasons that you established, that, you know, it's been a lengthy court battle lasting more than 10 years where orders of the courts and the spirit of the court's instructions were never followed. Then the court threatened contempt, and then the army started inducting these women. And the process of them becoming colonels with the level of experience has obviously not taken place. Is that not factually correct?
See, if there's an issue with exposure to command appointments, the answer is simply, the general could have simply written that let's undertake a capsule course or let's introduce a capsule course. That is the way of doing it. And through a proper study, as General Dua says that, it's the duty of the generals to take feedback. Feedback is not taken in this manner. Feedback is by way of a proper questionnaire. It is disclosed who are the officers who are giving feedback. So if you have 8 women under your command and you have, you use words such as, I'll just read it out, misplaced sense of entitlement, overexerting command, exaggerated tendency to complain, lack of empathy. Talking of 8 colonels without any basis to back it up or without any data or questionnaire or respondents' briefs to back it up, it's absolutely, it shows the lack of a scientific process also. And let me be very clear to all our, brave men and women who serve the uniform, these views are not the views of the army. Please take it from me. These views are not the views of the army. These views are not the views of the government of India. These views are not the views of the top military hierarchy at all. These are just personal opinions. So take it with a pinch of salt. As I said, the delay in giving effect to the judgment has led to all these complications. What was the case about? The case was very simple. The case was this, that you allow women to serve for 14 years in the army, but you say they're not fit to serve for 20 years plus. That was the fight that the women officers were, indulged in with the government of the day at that point of time in 2011. And later on, once you become colonels, the fight was that there should be no discrimination in non-combat roles, at least, in taking up command at par with men. So if you're a colonel, whatever appointment is available to a male officer should be available to a female officer. That's what Article 15 says. That's what Article 16 says of the Constitution of India. The Constitution is similar for everyone. It was a very simple issue. It's right. Just an exaggeration of a very simple legal proposition. And there was a meeting point and the government ultimately did issue these policies, yes. Very progressive policies. The government is also concerned about Nari Shakti, etc., as you know. And I'm sure it's a work in progress.
All right. So this view you mentioned, Navdeep, is an aberration. It doesn't reflect the views of the armed forces.
Absolutely an aberration, but it should not have happened.
In the first place.
I mean, commenting upon 8 women who are serving under your command, it's not a good thing to do.
We leave it over there. And, this document is out. It's out on WhatsApp, on social media. It's been headlined in the Hindustan Times, in the Times of India as well. It does reflect certain mindsets, perhaps, of a limited number of officers. I think women's empowerment is critical for the armed forces, not what we believe on this panel, but it's what the Supreme Court says is the law. We'll take a short break at this stage, come back with a lot more right here on Equity.